Welcome to the Independent Schools Show podcast series. Please enjoy and head to schoolsshow.co.uk for more information.
Welcome to the inaugural talk of the School Show 2023. And this one is very much about how to make use of the show. So I'm going to start by asking, who here has been to a school show here before? Okay, one person. Two people have been to a school show before. So I assume that most of you haven't been to a school show. Who's been to something like this for education, like a UCAS show or, yep, another person? Who's been to the Affordable Art Fair or a car show or something like that? Okay, couple, few more hands. All right, who's been to a museum? Okay, that gives you a vague sense of the kind of territory that this event is in, that it's a huge event with lots and lots of things to go and look at and lots of conversations to have. So I'm going to start by asking our panellists, have either of you been to an event like this to choose a school?
No. Absolutely not. I think I never had to choose a school because running a prep school, my children just had to come to my school.
The same is true of me. I've been here lots and lots of times, but always representing the school or as a panellist. But I do think it's an interesting concept, buying an education and going around and seeing all the different schools. So I'm all in favour of it.
And just to explain who people are, because I'm sorry, I went straight into the kind of like audience participation bit. This is Anthony's head of Stowe and Ben's head of Windlesham House School in Sussex. So they've both exhibited here lots and lots of times, and part of they've already confessed that neither of them have bought a school at a show. But so there are certain things that they don't know. They don't know about your experiences, but there are lots of things they do know because they've stood on the stands here for years and years and years and talked to parents. So hopefully we'll get some experiential knowledge from them about what's involved. So let's start imagining that you are coming here as a parent and it's your first time at a show like this. What would you do initially?
For me, I think I would want to know what it is I'm looking for. So you know that you have a child of a certain age, you're looking for a prep school, you're looking for a senior school, are you looking for a co-ed school, a single-sex school? Have those points in your mind and then be quite selective as you go around, but do go around, have a look, do a first pass would be my advice. Go all the way around, see what there is, regroup with a cup of coffee and then attack the schools that you really want to see.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for coming to the Independent School Show. First thing is get a goodie bag and fill up the goodie bag with as many pens as you can get, because you can never have too many pens. Second, ask the schools what they can do for your child. When children are being interviewed by heads, it's all about what the child can do. You are the customer, you are the consumer. This is arguably the most important purchase that you will ever make. Far more important than buying a house, far more important than buying a car. You are buying an education that will form your child's character, enthusiasms, interest, and lead them on a journey to what we hope is success. So ask the school what they can do for your child. Don't let heads or registrars turn it around so that it's an interrogation of your child. That is completely the wrong way round. The other thing is ask them, how do they measure success? Because a lot of heads, a lot of schools will give you really, really boring metrics based on GCSEs and A-levels and Oxbridge and how many pupils got into Harvard last year. That is so unbelievably boring because we can all manipulate and massage statistics. Ask them about value added. What value does the school add to your child's success chances. Ask them about, do they compare their scores with other schools, Because really what you're looking at is how does a school bring out the potential in your child, and success is not relative to another child in a completely different school. So ask them about how they treat the individual, and don't be fooled by glossy magazines and wonderful facilities. All schools have got wonderful facilities.
Great. So I'm going to just pick up before we are going to go deeper into the kind of questions you can ask on us when you go and visit a stand. But just to pick up on something that Ben was saying about doing a first pass and thinking about who you need to go and see. Has everybody got one of these? Yep. This is actually quite a useful document. I mean, we print it on purpose for everybody. And it's not. It does look like a load of adverts, but it has got some incredibly useful information in it that will help you make a better use of your time. So the first thing to point out is if you turn to page 14 and 15, the school summary, you'll see rather a complicated looking table with a load of dots on it. What that enables you to do is to think about the age of your child, the gender of your child, whether they need... whether you're looking at a sixth form or whether you're looking at a school with special needs support, whether you want a nursery, whether you prefer co-ed, single sex, or and so on, and the location. And I would use that, this as a just do a quick pass through it and mark schools that you that would fit what you think you're looking for. That really is quite an important initial approach to so you can start to think about where, you know, who to go and talk to. And then at the back here there's a very handy map where you can find the schools that are listed in that with the dots and see where they are. So you could ring some places on the map and work out who to go and see. You will find other people that you want to see as you walk past. You'll just look at a stand and think, oh, that looks interesting. But really what you're doing there, to follow up on something that Anthony said, is you're judging the quality of their marketing, not really starting to narrow down what you're looking for. So use the information at the front to help you kind of focus a bit. Having said that, the slight complication is that not every school you want to look at will be exhibiting. So you also want to look at this document here and see who's speaking, where and when. And there are no handy dots in this document, sadly. So it's one of the virtues of being an exhibitor is you get dots. So you will need to kind of, you might need to go and ask the Good Schools Guide or Bonus McFarlane or another school if you're not sure about these, who these schools are. But if you go along to their talks, they'll tell you. So really do spend a few minutes with this stuff before you at the start of your search. Because, as you all know from going to museums, it's absolutely exhausting going around this thing. You'll be really surprised how shattered you are after about talking to about three schools, and you'll think, why did we come? I wish we hadn't. And at that point, go and have a coffee and sit down and regroup, or go to a talk and just catch your breath and then do some more. So let's move on to what you do when you go and see a school. What kind of questions do parents tend to ask you? And as a sort of follow-up to that, what do you wish they will ask you?
I think what I wish they would ask us is, exactly as Anthony said, what can the school do for our children? Because it has to go beyond facilities. I think the first question they always ask us is, what age do you go up to? And of course, that's very clear either in the booklet or on our stand. And then we have to look beyond the facilities, because the best and most important thing about coming to the show is that you get to speak to the school staff, the heads, the registrars, the senior leadership teams, the teachers, and start thinking about the atmosphere and the warmth that you are receiving from those staff. Because unlike a website, which is just glossy photographs, this gives you the opportunity to actually sense what the school will be like by talking to those staff that are present. So really it is go beyond the curriculum. We all have very similar curriculums. We all teach really, really well, go beyond that, look at the pastoral care, look at the individualized care. And I think that's probably the most important question I think all of you should ask is, what individual care and attention will my child get? How will you look after them? Because as parents, the most important thing is we want our children to be happy, we want them to be cared for, and that's what every school should be doing. We all teach English, we all teach maths, we all prepare them well for the next stage, whatever that might be. But it's the individualised care and nurture that you should be looking at.
And same question about you, but I'll give it an extra spin. What you're seeing here is like the kind of marketing arm of the school. And these schools are really good at marketing. I mean, they're probably the best at marketing of any schools anywhere in the world. So how do you see beyond? I mean, it's great that they're good at marketing because it makes that help. That does tell you something, and you can glean a lot from how they present themselves, I think.
Thank you, Guy. I'm the opposite end of the marketing. My marketing department dread me speaking in public because I tend to tell people the truth rather than the spin. But I would say that, wouldn't I, because I'm a headmaster. Two things. One is to ask the school what makes them stand out, what makes them different, what makes them unique. A second one is we're preparing young people to cope with a very complex, ambiguous, uncertain, volatile world. Imagine, go back 50 years to 1973. Remember what the world was like in 1973. Most of you weren't even born in 1973, but a very different world. Now, we are preparing your children for the workplace of 2073. They're not going to have one job, they're going to have a multiplicity of jobs. So dig down into the set of skills that the school is teaching children. How are they teaching complex problem solving? How are they inculcating social literacy? How are they encouraging analytical thinking and active learning? How are they using technology in an intelligent way? After all, every child is now using artificial intelligence to complete their homework. So ask them about the future, because we're not preparing children for the jobs that exist now. We're preparing children for jobs which haven't yet been invented, using technology which we're only beginning to see coming through to solve problems that in the world that we have created and that we're seeing around us now. So make the headmasters or the headmistresses squirm in their seats by asking them really, really difficult questions.
So, okay, I mean, that's difficult questions is kind of easier said than done. A worry that a lot of parents have is that they're being judged by schools. I mean, I have heard tales of London schools that send people around to your house to check whether you're the right kind of family or not. So how much at an event like this are you kind of trying to suss the parents out?
I'm not sure it's a question of sussing them out. We don't send anyone round to look at your houses either. We just want to meet parents and to be able to tell anyone who comes to talk to us about our school and really sense that you are looking for a school like ours, because there are lots of different schools here and we all do things slightly differently. And it's really important that you find the right school for you, for your child, for your family, a school. It's a bit like buying a house. You will go on a first visit, 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, ticks the boxes, but what is the atmosphere like? Is it the right house for you? And there will be one house that is, and it's the same with schools. So really, that's what we're looking for. Is there that connection? Do you really understand and value the ethos of the school? Is it the right school for your child? And we'll have that conversation, and if it is, that's the most important thing. That's where we then would take the conversation from there.
Can I ask you, Anthony, just ethos is one of those words that gets bandied around a lot by headmasters and isn't really a word that's in common currency, I think. Do you want to just explain what ethos is?
Yeah, before I come to that, just on the judgment of children, I used to teach in a very highly selective school in London, and I remember coming to a school's fair which was for high academic achievers. And the head started the presentation by saying that if your child is not good at everything, your child is not really suitable for our school, which I thought rather diminished the purpose of school, because if your child is good at everything, they probably don't need to go to school. They can go and work for Goldman Sachs and earn more money than the head teacher. Anyway, I thought that was a very crass approach. Quite difficult question. Before I come to ethos, the sort of questions that I would ask heads is, you call yourself a head teacher. Do you still teach? And if not, why not? Because it's amazing how many heads have now become executive heads and no longer teach. This week I've taught a history of art lesson on Gustav Klimt and Egon Schiele. I taught a PSHE lesson on consent. That was a bit of a disaster, but I had a go. I do a weekly assembly. So I still see myself as a teacher. So again, just try and get under the skin of the school. Try and find out what the DNA is, what makes it tick. And then the ethos, it's a bit like a character, the character virtues. And again, it's worth asking, what are the characters that you value most? I like words like conscientiousness, and then getting children to spell the word conscientiousness. And then grit and resilience and perseverance, humility, humour. How do you measure those? What are your metrics? How do you value those characteristics? And that's all defined in the ethos. You'll also find that a lot of Christians, a lot of schools have a Christian denomination, will have some sense of a value system that you are expected to buy into. And if you don't buy into it, you need to ask, what other options are there available for my child? Because you'll find that most schools are now quite ecumenical and take a rather more liberal and accepting approach to different faiths, different belief systems.
On that front, in terms of what schools value, obviously the kind of thing you really want to know is that they value your child. And so the kind of things that I would ask would be, like, who do you give prizes to? Like, how many do you give and who gets them? Who do you make? Do you have prefects, monitors? Who gets to be a prefect or monitor? That will tell you quite a lot about what they really value. How many people play in a team? Who gets to be in a play? Who gets to sing? Who gets to play music? Those kind of questions will start to tell you what your child's experience of the school might actually be like.
I think that's the most perfect question. My child is tone deaf. They can't hold a tune in a bucket, but love singing. Will they be able to sing in a choir? And if the answer is no, then that's a warning signal. Is that the right school for you? Because my view is, anyone who wants to do something should be able to do it in an environment where they're part of a team. That's what schools are about. And I think, go and ask that question. Really good question. Sport, drama, can they take part in a production? Can they play in a competitive team? Even though they're not a games player, we should all be providing those inclusive opportunities. So go out and ask those questions.
You might have a child who is immensely academically able and competitive. In which case, I mean, for example, if you come along at the end of the day today, we've got St. Paul's talking about what kind of children suit schools like St. Paul's. And definitely those London schools that are super academic do suit the children who go to them. I mean, there's no question about that. They're amazing schools. But only about, you know, less than 0.5% of children probably go to a school like that. So 99.5% of other kinds of children have brilliant schools that probably do a better job.
I think, I haven't got the data to prove this, but there is probably an inverse correlation between the success measured in a school in prefect status, head of school, head of house, and success in later life. The last thing you want is for your child to peak at school. I always feel a bit sad for people, usually men, who say that their school days were the happiest days of their lives. what went wrong? What happened to the rest of their lives that they don't feel fulfilled and joyful when they wake up every day? So the success metrics of schools, the A stars, the GCSE grade nines, the Oxbridge places, the prefect status, are not the metrics of success. They don't define happiness later on. What defines success usually is a bit of talent, a modicum of talent, the ability to not sing in tune, doesn't matter as long as you have a commitment and you enjoy doing it. So some talent, then effort, then determination, and then time. And if you put all those factors together, you have the equation for success. And then you get into that psychological state of flow, where you're doing something, and the byproduct of that is happiness. You don't even know that you're having fun because you're practicing and you're doing something to such a degree of intensity and concentration that you're getting better and better.
Okay, one last question before we throw it out to the audience. How many schools do you think you should go and look at here to, and talk to? And how long should you expect to be on a stand for?
Gosh, difficult questions. I think it's really important not to go out there and speak to so many schools that when you leave, you can't actually remember which school was which. So do that first pass, narrow down your choices, and then maybe do a second or third pass and go back and see those schools that you are particularly interested in, because you really don't need any more than two or three schools, I think. If you know what you're looking for, you know the area, you know the type of school, any more than that, it then becomes a really difficult decision, a really difficult choice. And your second question?
How long?
As long as it takes. Do not be hurried on. Do not stay any longer. If you've had all your questions answered and it's really not quite the right school, just feel free to move on. But keep asking the questions for as long as you need to, would be my advice.
Yeah, it's a bit like going to the National Gallery or the British Museum. Within 20 minutes, you start getting museum or gallery feet, and you begin to glaze over. So choose a room or a painting or a statue, limit it to about five, try and get contrasts and differences rather than going to see a cluster of schools that are the same. And as Guy said, as soon as you start flagging, go for some caffeine and do something enjoyable. It's a lovely sunny day in the park. And then come back in and then attack the schools with even more difficult questions for the second round of questioning.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly good advice. You don't want to just charge around picking up brochures. That's what teenagers do when they go to UCAS fairs, which is fine, but they come away knowing very little. And you can go back. And once you've identified a few schools you like, you can go back and ask some more questions. But you've had to think about, because you're trying to work out whether they will suit your child or whether they're worth going to visit. What's great here is that you don't have to drive to see like 15 schools. You can walk around from one to another and do that first kind of triage and get it down to a reasonably manageable shortlist. That's what I would do. Is you might start with 10 or 15 that you've highlighted and be trying to get it down to a reasonable number. Okay, let's throw it out to the audience and see if there's any questions. Do put your hand up if you have a question. There's one here. Yep. Can we go here first?
Thank you so much. It's my first time come to school show. I want to ask a question. I just realized actually my daughter already stepped in private school, which from year 12. I'm regret I didn't come to this show earlier. Actually, she chose the school. Now I'm facing she going to choose like Oxford or Cambridge University. I wish I come early. What kind of question I can know the private school can help you more more help you to traverse to Oxford or Cambridge University? How can I identify that school is good? What is a way I can figure it out? And also it helps for my other client, because I'm also my Chinese school, I'm the head teacher. I'm very impressed the way you talk about how should be head teacher do, and I'm very inspired.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, you're asking a really scary question there, which is how can you identify the school that will fire your child at a particular university?
First of all, most schools have what they call the Oxbridge term. So this is the autumn term, and the interviews for Oxford and Cambridge, the assessment papers are all this term. And each school will have a department which holds lessons, Oxbridge classes, practice papers, interview classes. They will probably have another school that they work with and send their pupils to have practice interviews with the other school. Most schools will publish their Oxbridge results, so they will tell you how many children are getting into Oxford and Cambridge each year. If they're slightly embarrassed about that, they give you a five-year percentage. Be wary of percentages that sometimes go over 5, 10, 15, 20-year averages, which should tell you that last year they didn't get very many people in. So don't be afraid to ask a very direct question. How many candidates were successful, not just how many entered? Because, again, schools can enter 40 candidates and not get any candidates in. So how many candidates were successful in their Oxford and Cambridge applications? And then the second question is, what percentage go to Russell Group universities? What percentage go to Ivy League universities? And because now, increasingly, we're seeing pupils who are global citizens and not limiting their choices to UK universities. In fact, we have pupils now applying to America, not just for academic, but also for sports scholarships. We're seeing increasing interest in European universities, places like the University of Leiden and Amsterdam in Holland, which teach courses in English. So it's a really interesting question, because you're asking about the next stage, the tertiary education, which is, of course, what we're preparing children for. So thank you for that question.
I think it was over here. What we'll do is we'll take two. Can you make your question very brief?
Yeah. Yep. Thank you very much to both, one of the best head teachers and most inclusive head teachers in the country, I would say. Thank you. The young people who came in and families who came from the last few years to this show, entered your schools, I won't name them, and the feedback is really good. But the question, thank you, keep it up. The question is just quickly, you mentioned that people can use artificial intelligence to support homework. I've never heard that, so is there any chance that you could just expand quickly on that one? Thank you.
I'm going to take one more from the front here, and then we're running out of time.
Thank you. I would be interested in your thoughts on single-sex education, because you said that the school nowadays has to prepare children for a successful job in 2070. And I struggle a bit with the idea of educating children in a separate school, because it doesn't really reflect society. So I would just be interested in your thoughts if you think it's an outdated model or whether it's the model of the future.
There is, if you look in your guide, there is a deep dive into that very question at 2:00.
I know, yeah.
What I would say is I run a prep school. We're teaching children to get on with each other. We're teaching them skills. We're building their social skills, their foundations for life. And I think we need both sexes there in order to do that effectively. That's my view.
Okay, I'll answer the AI question first. So every child is a digital native. They're far more at home in Siberia, the world of cyber knowledge, than any of us in this room. So we have to assume that when you set an assignment, the first thing they're going to do is go to the god of ChatGPT. And enter in the question and then see what answer is generated by automated artificial intelligence. So the interesting thing is to start with the assumption that all homework is now aided by AI. And the question that I've set to my pupils and to my teachers is to say, look, AI only tells you what is already out there, what's in Wikipedia, what does Google tell you. It doesn't do any creative, original thinking. And we all know that Google is flawed. We know we wouldn't trust Wikipedia. We also know that AI starts hallucinating when it doesn't have the answer to the question. So it's deeply flawed. So the AI is only as good as the prompts that you put into it. The AI is incapable of creativity and original thinking. So you then say to the pupil, tell me what AI hasn't been able to tell you. I want you to be the originator of the next set of knowledge and information that AI will be drawing on. So if we all assume that we've accessed the same pool of information, AI is like the Library of Alexandria. It's simply a database of information. Much more interesting is to go beyond that and to say, tell me something I didn't know before AI was invented. Tell me something that's original, creative, and there's an insight that you have had, and then bring it back to the class and deliver it to the rest of the class. And that makes a really interesting lesson.
Thank you very much, Anthony. That was a really interesting end to how to spend 2 hours, or if you how to make use of the school show. There's a great, I always think of that line in the Rolling Stones song, you don't always get what you want, you get what you need, and you didn't know you wanted to know about AI, and now you know about homework and AI.
There's another line you could use, which I can't get no satisfaction. I hope you can all get satisfaction from today.
So go and enjoy and talk to as many schools as you can. It's not just marketing people. The senior leaders of loads of schools are on their stands. It's a remarkable opportunity to get some really good advice about your education.
Thank you very much, Guy. Thank you for listening.